Amen. Appreciate the Lord tonight, don't you? God's goodness to us. I've enjoyed the testimonies, the songs, every part of this service. And looking for the Lord to just help us in, as we go to His Word. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out to see? What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, whom shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen to the Lord's word. Pray for me tonight that the Lord would help me. Would you stretch your hand this way? Amen. Ask the Lord's anointing to be upon us. Lord, we need your anointing tonight. We need your touch. We need your presence, Lord, to help us. Lord, touch us tonight with fresh oil from the throne. God, we need your anointing. We need your spirit upon us, God. We need your presence to be with us. Without you, we can do nothing, God. Without your grace and your mercy upon us. God, as we're in this house tonight, you have a plan for this service. And I'd like for you to touch somebody in this altar, Lord. Rekindle a fire, Lord, a burden in someone's heart tonight. We give you praise and glory. The church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says after they left, that they said, that Jesus said, what'd you go out to see in the wilderness? Bible says everybody went out into the wilderness to see John and to hear him preach. Said, you go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you go out there just to see the normal, what you would always see? Oh no, this is more than normal here. So what did you go out to see? Somebody that was all fancy? Everybody had their clothes nice and, you know, the everything just right, red bottom shoes and, I mean, the right belt buckle and right cowboy hat and all that. Said, no, those kind of people are in king's houses. Said, that isn't what you go. What'd you go out to see? Did you go out to see a prophet? Said, no, more than a prophet. He said, I want to tell you something. That man said, of all men born of woman, there wasn't a greater man born than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is down in a prison cell. He's in a prison cell. You know the story. He's there because he had got so much fame and interest that Herod came. But Herod was living or had stolen his brother's wife. She was a very wicked woman. Don't you ever forget that. It always takes two to tangle. But anyways, she was the one that gave the word that John the Baptist's head be cut off. She hated John the Baptist. Here rode up Herod. Everybody was scared to death of Herod. He was a wicked man. Wicked king. He killed all the babies from 2 years old and under when they didn't bring word back. What kind of a man would kill all the children in a city just because he was afraid of some competition?
He killed all the children.
And but here he rode up. John's in prison. John's out there. John's in prison when Jesus is talking here. Now I'd like for the Lord to help me tonight. Help me, Lord. And Herod rode up to hear John preach. He's sitting there on his chariot, no doubt. The Roman soldiers would even go out to hear John and said, "What should we do, John?" And he said, "You know, don't defraud no man." And said, "Be content with your wages." And those Roman soldiers come in and acted different. And Herod wanted to know why, no doubt. And he goes out there. And when he rides up, John ain't afraid. Amen. Kind of like preachers I know. Thank God for a preacher that'll tell the truth. No matter, like somebody says, if it hair lips the devil. Hallelujah. He said, "It ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Now I can see Herod going back that night. Kind of acting a little strange. "What's wrong, sweetheart? What's wrong, baby? What's wrong, darling? What's wrong, big boy? Come here." He don't want nothing to do with her all of a sudden because of the preacher that's preached. Come on now. All of a sudden, Herod acts all different when he comes back home that night. And it cost him his head in the end. It cost him his freedom. The Bible said that Herod added to all of his evils. The Holy Ghost was so displeased in this man's lifestyle that he already had many evils, but he added above all them evils. You think about that. When the Bible says that he added above all, God counted him putting that preacher in prison greater than killing all them babies. Because the Bible says he added above all this, shut John up in prison. So here you have it. The man that Jesus said was the greatest man born of woman. I'm trying to lay a foundation here. Here you have a man that wasn't afraid to tell the truth. And he sends some of his men down to Jesus and said, "I've just got to ask you one more time. Are you really him? Do we go look for another?" And I want to tell you tonight, I have a burden on my heart and I want to preach to you. There's times in our lives that we have a struggle with our faith. There's times in our Christianity that we have a struggle with what we really believe and what we know without a shadow of a doubt. How did John know? The Bible said John bare witness and said God had told him the day before. Amen. All of a sudden God told John. He said, "You're going to see the heavens opened and a dove." Amen. The Holy Ghost descended on one and said he'll be in the crowd and said, "That's the one. That's my beloved son." And John was out there baptized in Jordan that day, and Jesus was standing in the crowd, and all of a sudden the heavens opened after he baptized him. Amen. And the Bible says that John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John heard the voice from heaven. John saw the dove descend from heaven, but now he's shut up in a prison. Now everything ain't going his way. Now everything ain't what it was. He's in prison and he's sends word to Jesus and he says, "Are you really the one or do we look for another? I need a confirmation. I need an assurance, or may I say, I need a reassurance." And I feel like the Lord would like to help us tonight. Amen. You may know that you know that you know that you're saved. You may know that you know that you know what God has told you in your life. But there are times in your life, that there are times in our life, in our Christian walk with God, where we get to the place where we need a reassurance. Can you say amen? I want to tell you tonight, if John the Baptist, the greatest man that was born of woman, now the Bible said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The Bible says that John the Baptist, when Mary came and he was in when Mary came and gave her salutation, they would greet out when they come up to their house. They would give a salutation or a greeting. And when Elizabeth heard the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the Bible said John the Baptist leaped in her womb. And right at that moment, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You're talking about a man of God. John chapter 1 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'm talking about a man, amen, that never wavered or never, you know, he served God. He gave his head for the gospel. He gave his head for the truth. And yet this man sitting down there in a cold, dark dungeon said, I've got to have a reassurance. I've got to have another touch from God. And I feel like tonight that there's times in our life that we might get burned out. There's times we might get discouraged. Amen, but it ain't turning around time. Amen, it's time to get another reassurance. It's time to get refilled again. It's time to get filled up again. It's time to get another touch. So I'd like to look tonight, you know, maybe the Lord, amen, would like to refill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. I mean, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, that ain't the end of it. Somebody said, you know, we get saved, said, I got saved again today. I get saved again tomorrow. I get saved again every day. John, the Bible said, when John said, are you he that should come? Come on now. It sounds like he's doubting here. And I want to tell you, he was struggling whether he was doubting or not. And there's many a people, amen, and many a saint of God that got to this place in their life, amen, and God put them there in the test of their life, and it was the test of their heart, amen. Are you going to believe even when you're in the prison? Are you going to go back to God? He sent word back to Jesus. I want you to know something. When you get in that struggle in your life, you got to be careful who you hang around, and you got to be careful where you go, and you got to be careful who you ask. There were so many opinions of Jesus. Amen. Matter of fact, he said, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're this and some say you're that. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. John the Baptist could have sat down to the high priest and said, I'm down here in prison. And said, who is this man called Jesus? Who do you think that he is? Now I've seen people get, amen, in dark times in their life, amen, in hard times in their life, and they'll send off to somewhere else and ask instead of finding God in an altar of prayer, instead of getting reassured, amen, what would have happened to John if he would have sent and asked somebody else, who is Jesus? But instead, he went right to the source. Now I want to preach to you tonight on again. Hallelujah. An again experience. There's nothing like that first experience. Does anybody remember when God touched you and saved you and you was born again that time? Does anybody remember when the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost? I can think back of times in my life, amen, where the Lord has touched me and gave me, no doubt, amen, a genuine first time experience with God, something like I had never experienced before. But what about an again experience? What about a going back a second time experience? What about a going back that third time experience? What about a refilling? Have you ever been, you know, today we was running around a little bit, and so we just went at McDonald's and got us, you know, some lunch real quick. It felt like Brother Curtis, you know, the time had messed us all up and needed some rest, so we didn't feel like taking a whole lot of time. They had one of those fountain drinks where you could fill up as many times as you wanted to and just keep on filling up. And you know what? That's the way it is with God. Right here at the altar and in the presence of God, we can fill up just as many times as we want to and refill as much as we want to. Amen. Hallelujah. And God wants to give us again experience. Jesus answered and said unto them, go show John. Sounds like a course going on over there, don't it? Praise God for the children. Hallelujah. Go show John again. An again experience. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? An again experience. A refilling. A filling back up. I've had it once, but I need it again. I've had it before, but I need it again. Hallelujah. It's not that we're backslid. It's not that we're turning around. We're just a little dry. Hallelujah. It's not that we're backslid. It's not that we're giving up on God. I just need another touch of God. Lord, amen, touch me again. Lord, refill me again. Amen. John was fixing to lose his head in prison, but he needed to have that again experience. And so he didn't send down, amen, to the local, amen, popular, amen, opinion of everybody in town. The Bible says, amen, to try the spirits. There's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils out there, church. And if you just grab any book or listen to any preacher or listen or go anywhere, amen, you might, amen, have to be careful on that. You know, there was a day and age where there was a movement that swept across this country, and it's still hanging on a little bit. Movement that swept through the Pentecostal church. Amen. And some of y'all know more about it than I do, but, you know, swept across here, and I mean just about a whole lot of craziness going on, you know. Just live any way you want to. Do anything you want to. You know, I mean, everybody's got a song, everybody's got a message, everybody's called to preach, everybody's anointed, everybody prophesies, everybody preaches, everybody this. I mean, it's just all mixed in together, and people living like the devil, you know, and coming into church and prophesying. I don't want nobody prophesying over me, amen, if they ain't been living right, amen, all week. Because there's spirits out there that'll get a hold of my spirit. I don't want somebody telling me something. Amen. The Bible said to try the spirits. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. The Bible said that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know how to tell a wolf in sheep's clothing? Look at their tracks. Because a wolf in sheep's clothing, amen, is over that wolf. But their paw, amen, look at their tracks. Look at where they came from. Come on now. Look at where they've been. You can look at their tracks and tell if it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Also, the Bible says you can know a tree by the fruit it bears. You can tell a tree by what the fruit it puts off. Amen. A thorn thicket ain't going to put off grapes. Amen. A thistle ain't going to put off figs. Amen. You can tell an apple tree by the fruit it bears. You can tell an orange tree, amen, by the fruit it bears. And there's people out there, they'll heal you in a moment's time. They'll prophesy to you, amen. But I'll tell you what, it matters when our feet hit the ground if we're living right. And John went right to the source. He didn't go to the popular opinion. He didn't go to the most populated place, but instead he went right to the source and said, are you the one? Are you really the one? Or do I look for another? Amen. And I think it's time that some people right here tonight, amen, come to God and say, Lord, I'm not wanting to turn around. Lord, I'm not wanting to give up. Amen. But I sure would like to have another experience. I'd like to have an again experience. I'd like to know again that you still, amen, make the blind to see. Amen. The lame to walk. The lepers to cleanse. Are you really the one, or do I look for another? Amen. The Bible says that Jesus said, go show John again. He's already saw it once. Amen. He already saw it before. And maybe you're here tonight and you've already experienced the Lord before. Amen. But are you dry tonight? It's time for an again experience. It's time for another touch. Amen. It's time for another fire. It's time for another wood on the fire. It's time for another touch of God in our life. It's time for a refilling of the Holy Ghost. If we get refilled with the Holy Ghost every service, it's not too much. If we get resaved every day, it's not too much. Amen. Can you ever get too much of God? Can we ever get too much of the Holy Ghost? Can we ever? Amen. But the Lord wants to give us experience and experience and experience time and time again, over and over again. And many times it's in the same way. Lord, help us tonight. Can you just raise your hands and ask the Lord to help us? The struggles that we face. The struggles that we face in life. Saying, am I really on the right road? Am I really in the center of God's will? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? Now, I know we can get so carried away with fleeces. We can get so carried away with, you know, signs. Jesus said this evil and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it. You know, there's a difference in a saint of God asking God to show me a sign and some heathen atheist saying, God, prove you're God. Hallelujah. One guy asked this preacher, he said, if God's God, if there's really a God, have him prove it to me or strike me dead within 5 minutes. The preacher said, how in the world are you going to exhaust the mercy of God in 5 minutes when you haven't exhausted it your whole life living for the devil? You want God to run out of mercy in 5 minutes when your whole life he's been having mercy on you. There's a difference in some, you know, atheist or somebody trying to prove and saying, is God really God? That's what they was asking from Jesus, saying, give us a sign. Give us a sign. Are you really the one? Are you really this or that? He said, they're wanting it for the wrong reason, and I'm not going to give it to them. If you remember those that didn't believe, said, if you're the Christ, amen, if you're the Christ, the high priest said, they didn't believe. If you're the Christ, come down and we'll believe. But they wouldn't have believed. Amen. Jesus said there in that story of the rich young ruler or the rich man in hell, he said, Abraham told the rich man, said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if somebody rose from the dead. Somebody said, well, if something drastic would happen in their life, they'd really believe. I'm telling you, it takes a heart to believe. It takes a heart after God. Amen. And if there's no heart after God, look at Pharaoh, for instance, brother. Amen. I mean, all those signs from heaven, even his firstborn son, amen, buried, and yet he still had a hard heart. Amen. And went out there and died in the Red Sea water and died a liquid death. Amen. All because his heart was not to believe. I'm telling you, saints of God, Gideon said, don't be angry with me. But if this is really you, show me a sign. And said, if it's you, evangelist preached about it the other night where we went. He said, if it's really you, said, let this fleece, which a fleece like a animal skin or something, you know, rug, said, let it be wet with the dew. And said, let the ground around it be dry. And the Bible says, in the morning the ground was dry. And Brother Wayne, the Bible said he had a whole bowl of water. Said he wrung it out, soaking wet. A whole bowl of water. God was saying, Gideon, I've already called you. Amen. But since I've called you, I will assure you. And I will reassure you. Now I want to tell you, saints of God, when we come to the Lord asking God for assurance and asking God for help and reassurance, God will assure us, and he will reassure us. Amen. He took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and was transfigured before their eyes. Amen. To show them that he really was the Son of God. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that he looked up to heaven in John 12 and said, Father, glorify thy name. Some of them thought it was thunder. Some of them thought it was an angel. Amen. But it was God the Father speaking. And what did Jesus say? He said, this voice didn't come for my sake, amen, but for your sake. What was it God was trying to assure his people? He was trying to assure those that needed assurance. Now I'm telling you, there's times even in our life, amen,
amen, is the best saints of God. Amen, saints of God like John. I'd like to get this across to you tonight. John was the greatest man born of woman, and yet he needed reassurance. Amen, it don't mean that you're backslid. It don't mean that you're down. Amen, fixing to go out on God. But if you don't get that reassurance, it may happen. Come on, somebody tonight. Amen, you may be in the house tonight, and you know now that God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen, but it might have been a while. Amen, since you felt that wave of glory. Amen, felt that touch of God. Amen, it's time for an again experience. It's time for God to show us again. Hallelujah. What about Thomas? We're so hard on Thomas. Thomas said, I won't believe. Amen. Unless I see, I won't believe. I've got to have that assurance. Hallelujah. 8 days later, there's Thomas with them this time. And Jesus stood in the midst. Brother Jesse, he didn't say, hey, Peter. He didn't say, hey, John. He didn't say, hey, James. He said, Thomas, reach hither your hand. It's in thy finger. Amen. Be not faithless, but believing. You know what he's saying? Amen. I'll give you assurance. I'll give you reassurance. I'll give you another touch. And that's what he's doing for John the Baptist right here. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Young people, I remember a time when I went to youth camp. Man, I was low and I was down. You know, it's something how you get low and down. Don't that frustrate you? I think there's somebody up there, brother. Brother Wayne Armbruster said the Christian life is always like this. Seems like up and down. But it's never supposed to be like this. Hallelujah. One guy said, I'm always having a mountaintop experience. Either I'm on top of the mountain or the mountain's on top of me. But don't it frustrate you sometimes when it seems like your just prayers don't even hit the ceiling? Don't it frustrate you sometimes when it seems like you can't get no praise out? Don't it frustrate you sometimes with yourself, or am I the only one? Amen. John was here in prison where he needed an again experience. He needed a new touch of God. But let me tell you something, saints. If you need a new touch of God, we serve a God whose mercies are new every morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Did God have mercy on you when you're saved? He's got brand new mercy the very next day. Did God have mercy on you 10 years ago and now you need it for another child or your family member? Hallelujah. His mercy is brand new. It's brand new every morning. It never gets old. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost touch and the again experience is exactly what we need. Now I'm almost done. I sure would like for the Lord to touch somebody here tonight. Again, the struggle, the confusion, the frustrations of the trials that we get into. He's down here in this cold, dark prison cell. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to double check. Hallelujah. I'm just going to double check. And he sends down there and he says, are you the one, or do we look for another? John's backslid. No, he ain't backslid. He just needs another touch of God. They tell about the eagle, and a lot of birds are this way. I know that that a chicken is a little bit this way. They'll go through a molting season. A hen will go through a molting season where it won't lay no eggs, and then as it gets older and gets survives, it'll get new feathers. A lot of them die there. But they talk about the eagle that flies so high that they go through that molting season or molting time in their life, in the later years of their life. And many of them do not make it out of that valley. They'll go down into a valley. They'll go down into a time in their life. And they say that sometimes those eagles will get there and they'll forget what they are. They'll forget who they are. They'll be down there in that low valley. They'll be down there. Their feathers, amen, are molting. They're trying to get new feathers on. God has created it this way. And many of them die down there. So that old eagle be down down there said sometimes its beak, they'll sharpen their beaks on the rock. That old eagle will sit there for days through that molting season. I'm talking about an again experience. And said that eagle will be down there in the valley. And said sometimes their old beak will just get all dull and get all, you know, twisted up and different things. And said they can't fly. But the Bible said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. God can bring that cycle totally around. And in that eagle's life, if it can make it through the time, it can have another experience to soar one more time. He said that old eagle will see those eagles flying way up there. He's been down in the valley for a while, but he'll look up one more time. Kind of reminds me of the psalmist. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That old eagle will look up there, amen, and something will rise up in that old eagle, amen, and he'll go and he'll sharpen that beak one more time. He'll climb to the highest point in that valley he can find. He'll hop to the highest rock. He'll stretch them wings one more time. Amen. You know what he's saying? I need an again experience. I know I used to soar. I know I used to run. I know I used to shout. I know I used to speak in tongues. I know I used to give forth a message every once in a while. I know I used to come in on fire. I know I used to be early for prayer. I know I used to fast and pray. Amen. But I've been down in this prison. And Lord, I need an again experience. And an eagle stretch them wings and jump off that rock just like it was a little baby. It's been a while since he flew. It's been a while since he soared. And who's here tonight? It's been a while since the Holy Ghost has come on you like you used to. It might have been a while. Hey, that prison cell can be a revival cell. That prison cell, amen, can have a touch of God. I can see him coming back to John. John!
Hallelujah! An again experience.
Y'all are looking at me tonight, and I'm telling the truth. Amen. And there's witnesses tonight. There's those that ain't saved because they never got the again experience. Not because they never had it the first time, because they never got it again. The Bible says in Luke that while those disciples was there, that the power of God was present to heal. And the best that I can figure, those disciples was there when Jesus raised up that dead man going to the graveyard. Jesus raised the dead several times. One of them Lazarus, another one a little 12-year-old girl. One of the ones that he rose from the dead, they was headed to the cemetery. And there was a large crowd with Jesus, and they was walking into the city. Well, as Jesus and his crowd, hallelujah. We're straight up. Jesus and his crowd was going in. The funeral procession was coming out. Now, a lot of times they called him, like Lazarus, he went on purpose to the grave. But this is almost like an accidental meeting. Here they're coming in, and here they're coming out. And the Bible said that Jesus saw that widow. She was a widow, and this was her only son. And the Bible said that he had compassion on her. Amen. Hallelujah. Lazarus was his friend. Amen. He said, I'm going to go wake up my friend. Amen. The 12-year-old girl, he said, come on down and heal my daughter. While he was on the way, she died. Praise God. But this accidental meeting, Jesus felt sorry for that mother. Amen. He had compassion on her. He said, weep not. Amen. And he went over and he touched that casket and said, I say unto thee, son, arise. And he sat up and started talking to him. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Best that I can figure, John John's disciples witnessed all of that. And the Bible said they went in that city and they brought all the sick out to him. Amen. All of a sudden the funeral was over. All of them instead of crying was laughing and rejoicing. Amen. And John's disciples saw it all. He said, go back there and tell John. Amen. Tell John. Amen. That the blind see. Tell them that the lame walked. Amen. Tell them that the dead are raised. Tell them that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Amen. Tell him again. And tell him, blessed is he who's not offended in me. I want you to know there's times in our prison cell we feel like giving up. We feel like stopping praying. We feel like stopping seeking God. Amen. But instead of stopping, we need to go back again. We need to go back to the river. We need to go back to the water. We need to go back to the source. Go back to the prayer closet. Go back to the revival service. Go back to the fasting. Go back to the prayer meeting and see what God does in our life in the again experience.
I'm done preaching tonight. And I feel like in my heart tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me, saying that there's those that need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That there are those that need another touch of God. Hallelujah. That need a renewed fire. Sister Bethany is going to come play for us tonight. Stand together with me. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us. I thank you for every individual and every saint of God that is here tonight. God, there are those that need that refilling of the Holy Ghost. There are those that need that touch of God in their life. Maybe they've had it before, but they need it again. We need it again. Now I pray, Lord, as we come to these altars tonight, that you would give us that again experience. That dry soul would receive that fresh new burden, new zeal, new desire, new anointing. I give you praise for tonight in Jesus' name. Church, I'd like for us to gather in here and pray tonight. Hallelujah. Renewed touch from me, saith the Lord. A new touch from me, saith the Lord, is what you must have. This saith the Lord, my fresh touch is just as real and just as sweet and better and greater than even the first, saith the Lord, because my touch from me never gets old. This saith the Lord, seek me and you shall find me. That new touch for your heart and life tonight. Say, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.